In these daily broadcasts, we're seeking answers to some of the great questions about life and death from the point of view of the Bible. Our listeners will sense that we insist on the evidence of the Old Testament as fundamentally important to any biblical discussion. It's quite fatal to ignore the teachings of the Old Testament, since Jesus and the original Christian Church always appeal to the Old Testament as a divine revelation from God. The New Testament supplements and builds on the Old Testament, but it does not contradict the Old Testament's basic teachings about man and his destiny. We began our search by bringing to your attention the fact that man was created dust from the ground, and that the Spirit of God animated him and gave him life. Man, however, definitely was not created with an immortal soul which would continue to live on after he died. The idea that man has a special part of him, known as a never-dying soul, does not come from the Bible at all. It comes from the world of pagan philosophy. Many students of the Bible and of Christianity confuse the Bible and philosophy. Unwittingly, they have absorbed, simply by living in our Western culture, ideas about man which are not based on the teachings of Jesus at all. In the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament, there is not even a hint that when our bodies die, our souls may survive consciously. As a leading contemporary scholar says, no Bible text authorizes the statement that the soul is separated from the body at the moment of death. That statement comes from E. Jacob in the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, Volume 1, page 803. In other words, death does not mean moving to another location in full consciousness. It means joining the rest of the dead in the world of the dead. When that happens, the true thing to say about the dead is that they are asleep with their fathers, Genesis 37, verse 35, and 1 Kings 2, verse 10. Death is a condition in which praise is impossible, Isaiah 38, 18, and Psalm 6, 5. Death, in other words, is thoroughly bad news. The good news, however, is that it's possible to recover from death, to come back from death, but not until the future resurrection of the dead. And that great event will occur at the time of the return of Christ. In the 1990s, we may confidently say, on the basis of Scripture, that only Jesus has been resurrected to perpetual life, and he's been enjoying that happy condition for some 2,000 years. Paul viewed any contrary idea as a threat to the faith. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 18, Paul warned the church that there were some who were straying from the truth and upsetting the faith. These people were teaching that the resurrection was already past. The date of Paul's warning was around 67 AD. His second letter to Timothy was his last word to the world before he died. He could see how devastating it would be if people began to believe that the resurrection had already happened. Now, resurrection in the Bible means waking up from the sleep of death. No less than 70 times in our New Testament, we're told that the dead are going to wake up from sleep. Let me illustrate what I mean. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, Paul tells us what happened to Jesus, the first man to be resurrected to immortality. Paul says that Jesus died, was buried, and that he was aroused from sleep on the third day. Our translations will usually speak of Jesus being raised, but a glance at the lexicons will tell you that the primary meaning of this word is to be awakened from sleep. That, of course, is most natural for those who have been schooled by the Old Testament to think of death as an unconscious sleep. David expected to sleep the sleep of death, Psalm 13, verse 3. Daniel expected the sleeping dead to remain in their graves and to awake from the sleep of death at the resurrection, Daniel 12, verse 2. What Daniel had in mind here was the resurrection of both the good and the wicked, which has not yet happened. Paul continued his great statement about death and resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. He wrote, "If Christ is announced as having woken up from the dead, how do some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead?" Resurrection here is defined as awakening from the sleep of death. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, "If Christ has not been woken from the dead, our gospel is futile and your faith is in vain. What's more, the apostles," he said, "would be proved to be false witnesses because we testified on behalf of God that he awakened Christ, whom he did not awaken, if the dead are not wakened." Then in verse 16, "If the dead are not awakened, then Christ has not been awakened. If Christ has not been awakened, your faith is useless. You're still in your sins. then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Now comes the triumphant note with which Paul spurs the Christians on to their goal. Now Christ has been awakened from the dead, the first of the harvest of the ones who have fallen asleep. That's in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15. And now in verse 22, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Now there we have the key to the whole idea of resurrection. To be awakened from the sleep of death is the same as being made alive again. In Romans 8 verse 11, Paul throws more light on the resurrection. If the spirit of the one who awoke Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who awoke Jesus from the dead will make alive your mortal bodies through the spirit dwelling in you. So Christians must obtain the spirit of Jesus as a guarantee of their future resurrection from the dead. Jesus was the great exponent of the doctrine of wakening the dead from the sleep of death. In John 5:21, he said this, "Just as the Father wakes the dead and makes them alive, so the Son makes alive whom he wants to." Now Jesus is able to do this since his own resurrection from death. He is now a life-giving spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 15:45, and he's able to impart that life to dead persons who will wake up again and gain immortality. After that resurrection from death, they will be absolutely death-proof. What a prospect! What wouldn't you give to be death-proof, unable to die? Well, you can have immortality, but you must seek it on God's terms. This is what the Christian religion offers you, life forever, everlasting life. The Bible is the handbook for those seeking the greatest of all prizes, to live forever. And the gateway to that life forever is the resurrection to which God invites you. The challenge to us is to respond to the invitation. Resurrection, or waking up from the death state, is the great central message of Christianity. Listen to Paul again. If dead people are not woken up, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. 1 Corinthians 15:32. If there's no prospect of recovering from death, we might as well live for today only. Just follow the Epicurean philosophy and pursue pleasure to the maximum. But Paul, of course, was totally convinced that Jesus had already been brought back from death and that he promises the same for the believers. So he goes on in 1 Corinthians 15:52 to describe what is going to happen at the resurrection. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be awakened imperishable, and we shall be changed. Because this perishable must put on imperishability, and this mortal must put on immortality. When that happens, Paul says, death will be swallowed up in victory. At that point in human history, when all the faithful attain to immortality, then the great disaster caused by the sin of Adam and the sin of mankind will be forever reversed. Human potential will be realized to the full when persons who have served Christ will be rewarded with the gift of endless life. Is there any one of our listeners who can resist the offer of immortality? What could you possibly desire more than life forever? Christ is the one to go to for that ever-enduring life. Christ is the agent whom God has appointed to bring others to their great destiny of putting on immortality at the resurrection. If ever a Bible doctrine needed to be made clear, it would be this one, that human persons can overcome death, not by surviving death as an immortal soul, but by preparing now to be raised from the dead when Jesus returns. This is the great hope of all the Bible writers. David in Psalm 71:20 says triumphantly, "You will make me alive again. You will bring me up again from the depths of the earth." And that great revival from death will be the awakening of the dead as prophesied in that most fundamental of all resurrection verses. Listen again to Daniel 12, verse 2. "Many of those who are sleeping in the dust of the ground will awake, some to everlasting life." Now that tells you where the dead now are, in the dust of the ground, and what they're doing, sleeping in unconsciousness. We should all derive our understanding of the Scriptures from the consistent and uniform message they present. Daniel 12:2's picture of the resurrection as the awakening of those who are asleep is entirely harmonious with all that the Old Testament says about death, and it's entirely in harmony with what the New Testament hopes for. As I was reading Daniel 12:2 in the Greek version of the Old Testament, I noticed that the word chosen to express the idea of awakening from the sleep of death was exactly the same word as Paul used in 1 Corinthians 6:14. Paul made this summary statement of the Christian hope. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14, God awoke the Lord and will wake us up through his power. The word to raise from the dead is the ordinary word which means to awake from sleep. So Daniel in Daniel 12:2 speaks of the dead waking up in the resurrection. And Mark in his gospel, using exactly the same word, reports that Jesus woke up one morning from natural sleep. Mark 6:45. To wake up from death, you see, is to return to life. That is the meaning of resurrection. What a beautiful and simple picture of the great teaching about death and resurrection is found in that word, to wake up. Every night and every morning, we, so to speak, rehearse our death and our resurrection. Our human destiny is built into the very fabric of our daily routine of sleeping and rising from sleep. It is surprising that preachers do not make more of this simple biblical fact. Funeral services, where the public gather to lament the dead and to ponder their own mortality, would be just the place for some clear words of instruction on the nature of death in the Bible, and of course the hope of resurrection when Jesus comes back. Are you prepared to wake up after death and face Christ as the judge who acts on behalf of God the Father? God has placed the task of resurrecting the faithful Christians in the hands of his Son. His Son has already been made alive by resurrection. That happened nearly 2,000 years ago. We're going to have to answer for what we do in our present life when in the future we face Christ in our own resurrection. That stupendous restoration of the dead to life will not happen until Christ returns at the end of this age to establish his kingdom. That is the consistent teaching of the Bible. If you would like to look up and preferably commit to memory a Bible verse on that subject, please consult 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. It may be that some of this material is new to you. Do not hesitate to contact us at the address and telephone number which will be given at the end of this broadcast. We have some free literature we would like to offer you. Join us again next time as we explore what the Bible has to say about the great questions of life and death and how we may plan to live in such a way that we can attain later to a life which will never end. Nothing is more important than paying attention to our ultimate goal, and that is to achieve the immortality for which God originally created mankind. In the meantime, may God bless you in your search for his truth.